RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
James Roguski is a researcher, author, natural health proponent, and an activist who believes that the old systems are rightfully crumbling, so we must build their replacements quickly. Back in March 2022, he uncovered documents regarding proposed amendments to the international health regulations and was instrumental in raising awareness about them. James has been a guest on the show three or four times now since we've been broadcasting starting March last year, and he's now doing everything possible to expose the WHO's hidden agenda behind their proposed pandemic agreement, as well as the WHO's ongoing attempts to amend the international health regulations. His vision for the future can be summarized thus: out of the who and into the new. So it's my pleasure at the end of the week to try and sort of crystallize everything you've heard about WHO, WHA, all the delegates talking. You've heard clips of them here at RCR, including our one who's the Deputy Director General of Health. The best person to go to is James Roguski, who we've had on the program quite a few times before, to try and sort of wrap this up at the end of the week so we know where we are for what happens next. James, welcome back to RCR. Nice to have you.
Well, you know, thank you very much for having me. I'll dive right in because, you know, time is precious. Expect more plot twists as, you know, this soap opera continues.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that the gods are putting on a theatrical production for my entertainment, because for the longest time I was the only one, you know, paying attention in this theater. And so the status as of the time we're having this conversation is, while the WHO has failed to meet their deadlines for the two things that they're negotiating, for the amendments to the existing international health regulations, their deadline was 4 months ago in January. Mm. According to Article 55 of the international health regulations, any nation can submit amendments, but they're supposed to do so 4 months in advance. Well, apparently, you know, they don't think that rules apply to them. On Friday, May 31st, 2024, they're claiming that amendments that they never voted on May 28th, 2022, are going to come into legally binding effect. So, you know, 2 years ago, they claimed that they adopted amendments that they never bothered to vote on. So, you know, expect the unexpected. Anything could happen. What happened on Tuesday, the 28th of May this year? They were supposed to present both the final version of the amendments and the final version of this new agreement. They refer to it as a pandemic agreement. Most people call it the pandemic treaty. It's really a business deal. You know, it's a glorified trade agreement that likely take the form of a framework convention that, you know, if and when they get around to agreeing to it, would just go on and on forever, like the Framework Convention for Climate Change. They were supposed to present their final version and discuss it and possibly even vote on it in Committee A, which is a subcommittee of the Assembly, on Tuesday the 28th. Well, they didn't really talk too much about the amendments, because what they did, and they didn't even vote on this, right? The chair of the committee, they refer to him as the president of the committee, put forth a white paper, which still they haven't made it available that I've been able to find, but he did read it out. And he said, well, you know, I suggest that we create a drafting group to go meet in some back room somewhere at the Palace of Nations at the WHO to continue the negotiations for the amendments, because they still had not settled all of the, you know, disagreements that they have. They color code their documents. And so a lot of the articles that were being amended have been highlighted in a very vibrant neon green, which means, okay, you know, they've agreed to those, and hopefully we'll talk about some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other ones are yellow, and so they're still debating. And then some of them are not colored at all, which means they're really far apart.
Yeah.
And they created this, or he suggested the creation of this drafting group, and one would have expected the committee to ask the, you know, or the chairperson to ask the committee, do you all agree that we should do this? Well, that's not how they operate, right? At the end of the meeting, they had a stand-in person slide into the chair. The chairperson actually went away. I haven't been able to identify the name of the person who said, well, you know, we seem to have some support for this drafting group, so we're just going to do it.
Wow.
And you know, Robert's Rules of Order and all of the, you know, rules that they're supposed to follow, obviously, they don't really care. They just do whatever the heck their owners tell them to do. And so they're currently trying to come up with an agreement that the last day of the assembly is June 1st, Saturday, and they may very well vote to attempt to adopt something that none of us have had a chance to see, the final version. Now, because the fake, you know, fraudulently adopted amendments from 2022 are claimed to go into legally binding effect on Friday the 31st, it's always been suspected that they would postpone any vote until after those go into effect so that, you know, it didn't get into any kind of legal conflict, you know, that they are voting on something prior to those going into effect, because it would shorten time periods, you know, off into the future. So with the other document, the new pandemic agreement or pandemic treaty, they have pretty much admitted that they were not able to reach an agreement. There's still a lot of aspects of this corrupt business deal that they're trying to put together that they haven't been able to agree upon. But they all seem to want this deal to go through because there's billions of dollars involved. So it appears, I don't like to predict a future, but they've said quite clearly that probably they want to have a special session of the World Health Assembly at some point later in 2024. They want to get the authorization essentially to continue negotiating. And, you know, maybe 6 months from now or some point towards the end of the year, have another assembly to try to push through the treaty. So, you know, people who are celebrating at this moment in time that, oh, it's, you know, yes, they failed to meet their official deadline, but they don't really seem to care about rules. And, you know, because what we're dealing with here is essentially an agreement to transfer wealth. You know, it's always been about equity. Everyone involved wants the deal to be worked out because they want the money to flow. Now, I'd like to just give one example. It stuck in my head a year ago. I got all of the information about how much money the WHO, you know, operates on and how much the various nations pay in dues. And some of the smaller nations, the dues are surprisingly small, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 a year to be a member of the WHO. There's people who, you know, join fancy country clubs and pay, you know, $100,000 or $1 million for a membership. And, you know, if you think about it, the WHO is a country club.
Yeah.
It's a club for countries.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, if your nation pays $10,000 to get a seat at the table and you vote in a compliant way and, you know, multiple million-dollar contracts come in your direction, you can see why they want these deals to happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the WHO, a lot of people misquote. I heard it just earlier today. I was watching a video from somebody who should know better. Only about 20% or less of their due of their money comes from assessed payments from nations. And, you know, the WHO is supposed to be, you know, run by the member nations, but only 20% of the money comes through those dues. Of the other 80%, most of it actually comes from the very same nations who put in, now they don't call them donations, they call them investments. The WHO advertises that if nations invest in the WHO.
Well, that's business language.
Exactly. They get a 35 to 1 return on investment.
Gosh.
Okay. Now, what does that really mean? They try to claim that the WHO improves the health of people so much that nations actually save money by investing in the WHO.
That's not what they mean, surely.
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah,
and so what they're currently doing is trying to implement a year in advance their 14th general program of work, which is, you know how the Soviet Union used to have a five-year plan and the Chinese party has a 10-year plan? Well, the WHO, very similar, has a four-year plan for 2025, 26, 27, and 28. And they're begging for billions. I mean, they have their investment plan. You know, they want nations and organizations to kick in $7 billion for the next 4 years. Now, this is totally separate from the treaty or the amendments or any of that sort of thing. This is just to keep them going, right?
Wow.
Now,
okay.
While $7 billion is obviously a lot of money, think about it for a moment. Their yearly budget with all of the dues and the investments and the donations or whatever you want to call them was under $4 billion in 2023. Look at how wealthy Bill Gates is. Look at the yearly budget for something like Pfizer, Moderna, or Merck, or Glaxo, or you know any of the other pharmaceutical companies. What people need to realize is that the WHO is the tail that's being wagged by the big dog of big pharma. And so when you're looking at this, realize that what they're really doing is not a single person at this assembly, and there are thousands of people involved, will ever speak the truth about how the diagnostic tools, you know, the PCR test, which is not a test at all, how it is just a fraudulent use of that technology to claim that somebody is ill or, you know, a contagious danger to other people. Drugs like midazolam and what I call run death is near that, you know, were approved therapies, but yet cause enormous harm. And, you know, certainly not to mention the jabs that very clearly do not stop infection, do not stop transmission, derange people's immune system and cause problems to the point where, you know, they're slowly being removed from the market for the failure and the damage that they caused. No one in the building at the WHO is going to say anything negative about the big dog, you know, that runs the show. The WHO, it's just a marketing and they want to be a distribution source for big pharma's products. And the treaty is really nothing more than setting up a racketeering organization to go looking for pathogens that aren't necessarily causing any disease or death, but can be used to scare people like they're doing right now with bird flu. You know, I just watched a video about bird flu. And they were talking about all of the dying penguins in Antarctica.
Right.
And I get it. I understand the technology and the science of what they're claiming is going on. What's happening with penguins down in Antarctica is somehow magically being transported to, you know, Texas or
well, how
everywhere
did the penguins
else.
Get it in the first place?
How did the penguins get it in the first place?
Was someone in McMurdo Sound or something?
How are the dairy cows that have infections in their udders, how is that being transmitted from dairy farm to dairy farm all over the United States? Okay.
Yeah.
How is this actually being transmitted? Now, all right, if it is, you know, birds that are infecting penguins and then flying to dairy cows, the fear
it's a long flight, James.
The fear that is being used, you know, dairy cows having bird flu and then cats drinking raw milk, you know, dying from something that's being tested by a PCR process. The fraud that is happening here is just absolutely astonishing. But, you know, I was watching the videos and, you know, they've got flames going up in places on the map, you know, where it makes it look like they're talking about forest fires, but there's a hot spot here and a hot spot there. The manipulation that they're using to scare the bejeepers out of people is absolutely astonishing. And that is what they're trying to set up with the pandemic treaty. Is how can we find pathogens that are scary and turn them into money?
Yep.
And then utilize the same methods with the media and everything else to get people to do things that normal, sane, calm people would never allow to happen. You know, take these drugs or inject these substances into your body. So that you're protected from something that might harm you. And so what we're dealing with here with the WHO is quite the psychological operation.
Yeah.
And so on Saturday, June 1st, maybe some of the dust will settle down. And unfortunately, it looks like one of the things that they're going to try to push through are amendments to the regulations to Articles 24, 27, and 31, which Article 31 has been there since 2005. And what it purports to do is say, if you're traveling to another nation, once you leave your home nation, the authorities where you're traveling to can compel people to have a medical examination, a prophylaxis of some sort, some type of drug or whatever else it might be, a vaccination, or be isolated and quarantined. Now, this is something that I know people in the health freedom movement who have created organizations and have worked for years, because in the past, they were fooled. They wanted to travel somewhere, and the requirements were that they needed to get jabbed. And when they went to go get jabbed, they got talked into getting more than what was minimally required. And it totally damaged their systems. And they ended up being, you know, health freedom warriors because of the damage that was caused because of this. So while people may not have intentions of traveling internationally, this is one of the tricks that they're using to start locking down people on the planet.
Well, that was one of the things that worked for COVID. People were freaked out that they might not be able to travel. You know, people like to go to the Pacific Islands here for their holidays. They didn't want to give that up.
Absolutely. I know people who very much did it for that very reason. And so the WHO has got a new program that their focus going forward is going to be, their top priority is to deal with health issues that are aggravated by climate change. That's really their first priority in their
general program report. That's an open checkbook, isn't it? That's an open checkbook right there.
I think that's what they believe to be the case. And so the issue is number one priority for them is to align with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, where I believe it's number 13, has really taken over all of the other efforts of the Sustainable Development Goals, a number of which are health related. And, you know, with what happened with COVID, with the insanity and the lockdowns and the jabs and everything else, all of the metrics for health around the world have really crashed downward. People are less healthy now than they were.
Hospitals are out of control, ambulances all the time. Never used to be like that.
Yep. And so, you know, there's no way in the world they will admit that the solutions that they put forth for COVID actually, you know, damaged people's health and continue to do so. You know, I've always referred to diagnostics and drugs and jabs as customer acquisition tools.
Yeah.
They're not designed to heal people. No. They're designed to take people who are generally healthy and trick them into either swallowing poisons or injecting poisons, which turns a large percentage of them into lifelong customers.
I can think of osteoporosis. Give them a scan, tell them they've got it, and the medication starts right now.
Absolutely. And so what we're seeing here is the attempt to do things that are very, very good for the big dog that's wagging the tail of the WHO. Their general program of work is essentially saying we need to get more pharma built out around the world, especially in relatively poor nations who, you know, the profitability in those nations is not there. So they want investments to flow from wealthy organizations and wealthy nations to build out big pharma, where it's really not something that should be a priority.
Growing markets.
You know, if what you need is good, pure water and sanitation and good, healthy food, and, you know, maybe dealing with, you know, heart disease and cancer and stroke and diabetes and malaria and tuberculosis and the things that actually ultimately kill people, well, you know, very near, if not at the top of the list, is what's known as iatrogenic disease, which is doctor-caused illness. And so when you're being treated by the people who harmed you in the first place, you have to at some point wake up and say, maybe I need to get out of this matrix.
I want to ask you about this, because this is what I don't get. I was watching our delegate, the German young woman delegate, the woman from Namibia. She was kind of a little more relatable, let's say. But one thing I noticed is the belief that they have in what they're saying. Equity is mentioned.
Oh, they absolutely do.
And I'm wondering, I mean, are these people not getting something? And one of our former Director General of Health, who was right at the center of COVID, and he's not a very well-liked man in some parts of our country, but he's there, you know, going on about people creating mis and disinformation. He was referring to us, actually, because that's, we're the only people in his mind doing that in New Zealand. And it's said with such belief and commitment. And I'm sitting there thinking, are they honestly believing this, or are they under some sort of pressure, being told what to say, or that they can benefit so well personally that they'll keep up the charade? What are your thoughts on that?
I honestly think that they believe their own propaganda. And you see it everywhere. There's a difference between trying to have a conscious conversation with someone. I've done this for years, actually. I wrote a book 18 years ago. It's entitled Your Doctor is a Liar. And it exposes the lie behind cholesterol. Anybody can have the ebook for free. Just go to yourdoctorisaliar.com. And I put my phone number at the end of the book. I've been giving away my phone number for almost 20 years now. And people would call me and would have a conversation. I, you know, explain to them how the lie got started and, you know, what they could do to be healthy. It's got nothing to do with your cholesterol levels. And after a half hour or an hour conversation, you know, they would say, thank you for all the info. I'll have to ask my doctor.
Oh, so, God.
And you just go, oh, you can have a seemingly coherent conversation with someone's conscious mind, and they can engage with you, but the programming is still there. I admit my failure. I don't know how to snap my fingers and bring people out of the
hypnotic
trance.
Because it's like a form of
trance.
Yeah, hypnotism. It's like that.
Exactly. And so we all have it to some degree. We all have certain habits that we can't stop. We have beliefs that, you know, really, you don't want anyone to challenge them, because it you know, it makes life difficult to upend everything you've been, you know, believing your whole life. And so I honestly think that the vast majority of people who are engaged at the WHO believe that the way to prevent the next quote unquote pandemic is not, you know, to get rid of the propaganda and stop all of, you know, the fear mongering and the fake testing, and you know, realize that the drugs cause harm and the jabs cause harm, and that the symptom pattern could have been pneumonia, or it could have been the common cold, or it could have been, you know, some very similar respiratory problem caused by any one of a million things. They really believe that even though 16 to 25 times as many people's deaths were attributed to COVID in North and South America and Europe as opposed to Africa, I've heard African leaders say, well, you know, millions of people died in Africa from COVID, when on the WHO's own website, it said that throughout all of Africa, with a billion people, they attributed 175,000 deaths to COVID. Now, if 175,000 people died, you know, that's sad and
it is, you know, but it's to be, small
as a, to be concerned as a, about. But, you know, how do we know what they died from? You know, it's just attributed to COVID through some sort of PCR test.
Yeah, well, which is designed to show it.
The point, though, is if anything, we should be going to African nations and saying, well, what is it that you did so wonderfully well, instead of exporting the thing that did, you know, a couple of orders of magnitude worse and spreading that out around the world? Well, it's not about health. It's about the fact that the nations were unable to profit from the manufacturing of the diagnostics and the drugs and the jabs, because that was primarily run from the wealthy nations, United States, United Kingdom, Germany, so forth and so on, that owned the intellectual property. They had the manufacturing capacity, and they, you know, sold that around the world and profited from it. So when South Africa and Botswana identified the Omicron variant, whatever you want to believe about whatever that may or may not have been, you cannot deny that somebody put together a data file that claimed to be the genetic sequence of Omicron, and then Pfizer and Moderna put that into the boosters and made a couple of more billion dollars.
Wow.
And so what triggered these negotiations and some of the early amendments was the African nations saying, and I'll put this in my own words, well, we're not ever going to do that again. We're not going to give you our sovereign biological resource information in the form of a genetic sequence for a pathogen unless you agree through the pathogen access and benefit sharing system to share some of the benefits.
You mean a commission?
You know, a royalty, a finder's fee, you know, don't pirate their sovereign intellectual property unless you're willing to pay for it. So what these negotiations are about is they want signed contracts. We'll give you our pathogen information. You've got to give us a piece of this evil pie. And so, unbeknownst to most people, on May 24th, another treaty was signed. The World Intellectual Property Organization signed an agreement that they claimed had been working on for decades. I can't say that I've been following that for decades, but when you read, I believe it's a 10-page document, it seems very sloppy to me, even to the point where on the first page, they weren't able to even put the terminology in alphabetical order, right? It seemed like they rammed this thing through.
That's rushed, isn't it? That indicates being rushed.
Because that was the holdup in the WHO negotiations. It's all about, well, who has control of the intellectual property and who. So the WIPO treaty states that any patent anywhere in the world, well, I should take that back. There's 138 nations so far that have signed on to the treaty. Any genetic information that is used to do any type of a patent has to be identified in the patent. So that's the beginnings of the root of a pathogen access and benefit sharing system, where if a nation finds the genetic sequence of a pathogen and some company makes a product with it and applies for a patent, they have to give credit where credit is due. But who says they have to apply for a patent? they could just keep their technology secret. You know, so there's so many ways around the language in here. It seems to me like something very strange is built into that treaty. I encourage people to look at it. I wrote an article about it. You can certainly find, you know, WIPO treaty online. This is not about people's health. This is about the discussion, which as a culture we need to have, and nobody's even remotely talking about it. If someone is ill and someone else has knowledge to be able to help them regain their health, how much money do you get to charge for that intellectual property? You know, where do you put people over profit? And this is the negotiation that's really going on here. And it certainly looks like profit is winning. You know, when you can help people with inexpensive vitamins and minerals and that, which cut into profit, well, you got to ban the use of those things.
Yeah, we've had that battle here.
Yep. And this is really what it comes down to, is the profiteering that fear and the threat of a pandemic offer these corporations. I've dubbed it the new OPEC. You know, it's not the oil producing and exporting countries. It's the Organization of Pandemic Emergency Corporations. It's like, how much money can we make from people by convincing wealthy nations to fund these operations so that when we get them scared, they'll use the products, and then more contracts for more products fill in the distribution hubs. So,
I was just going to ask, what you've explained is really cool, because it pulls it into, you know, one place and on a timeline. And I think that's really helpful. So the pattern of behavior that we've seen, not following rules, rushing things, kind of the way they've been operating, that is them doing what? Trying to sort of in real time sidestep like a football player would, you know, sort of shimmy out of the way, fend that one off, and then work through the, you know, the pattern of play until you get the goal in the end. Is that what that tells us? Because surely an organization like that with such a history and all the norms of international relations and law would suggest a very precise and predictable and honorable follow every regulation kind of sequence of procedures, but it doesn't seem to have been like that. So that makes it obvious, doesn't it?
It does, but you know, they're putting lipstick on this pig in the sense that if people don't pay attention and the delegates go along with it, I think I said it earlier, but this truly is a club for countries.
Right. Yeah.
And so if none of the delegates from any of the countries object in these meetings to the way they're being run,
it's all on, right? It's all on.
Then it's all on. So we, the people, the problem that we're dealing with is in nations like New Zealand and Australia and Canada and the Commonwealth nations, our parliaments, or I should say your parliaments, or for that matter, our Senate and Congress, are not engaged in and have no authority at all in these international negotiations. For the Commonwealth countries, it comes from the king down to the prime minister to the cabinet ministers. They make these decisions. There's no legal structure through which the people and their representatives have a lawful means of influencing these decisions. And this is the problem that people don't want to face, but it's a reality. It should not be that way, in my opinion, okay? But it's not a question of sovereignty, because your sovereign has told your prime minister and your parliament, go for it, go do it.
Yeah.
And so the problem really is that the WHO is not seeking to infringe upon national sovereignty. Every nation has a delegate in these meetings, and the WHO is not seeking to control your healthcare system, because your nation's government is got that all covered.
It's outsourced.
Whatever abuse they did over the last 4.5, 5 years, if you haven't fixed that inside your nation,
and we haven't,
they'll do it all over again.
Yeah.
If you give them the opportunity. And so there's been an enormous confusion about what's really going on. The WHO would like to be the manager of, you know, this global system of looking for pathogens. They call it One Health, bringing them into a WHO coordinated laboratory network, overseeing the pathogen access and benefit sharing system, and then being in charge of the global distribution and logistics network to have billions of dollars of products just sitting in warehouses looking for a good emergency.
Yep.
To bring them out of the warehouse and restock. And
yep.
And so that's just, you know, a corrupt business model. And unfortunately, most people have been barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah.
You've got to identify in your local, you know, municipality, province, nation, you know, how did your local tyrants attempt to abuse you or successfully do so? And, you know, are you going to the pharmacy and stocking up on drugs and taking jabs that are feeding the beast that, you know, they want billions of dollars to build out all around the world?
Of course that's going on. Of course that's going on. I saw a person on the news the other night, fourth time with COVID, complaining that they can't get their eighth shot in reasonable time. So that's what we're dealing with.
Yep. I don't know how to snap people out of the matrix. You know, I mean, in the movie, you know, it's said very clearly, you cannot drag someone kicking and screaming out of the matrix. They have to have that nagging idea in their mind, that splinter in their mind that says, hey, something's wrong here.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You know, if you take something like arthritis, right? If someone's had arthritis for 15 years and they keep going back to the same doctor and they keep having the same problem, at some point, you know, if you did that with your auto mechanic and yeah. your car was never running right,
yeah.
and you keep paying them for 15 years to work on your car, your neighbors would look at you a little strangely going, you know, I think you're being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
But people
and they'd also
don't.
Think you're not very bright if you can't see it.
But in health, people don't see it. They're told, well, you have to take this drug for the rest of your life. You have to get these jabs, injected poisons that you don't have any idea what's in those needles or the syringe. And people just trust. Because it takes a little bit of, you know, digging to expose the lie. You know, the book I mentioned was about cholesterol. That lie is older than I am. That's from the 1950s.
They're still pushing it.
They're still getting away with it.
I mean, after my heart surgery, I was leaned on very heavily for statins. Luckily, I knew a bit. But I tell you what, they didn't enjoy the pushback at all. Was like, you know, who are you? You know,
and they honestly believe it, and so they think you're the crazy one when you look up all the information. And so, you know, over the last 4.5, 5 years, much of what has been said, pointing out how the diagnostics were flawed and the jabs didn't do what they were supposed
you mean
to
they
do,
didn't
and
actually
caused all
work.
Kinds of harm.
Yeah.
They didn't work. And the drugs certainly have, you know, many, many adverse events. You know, I think a new group of people have awakened to, wait a minute, you know, this something here is very, very wrong. But unfortunately, in most healthcare systems, the people who were able to think for themselves and pushed back were pretty much pushed out.
Yeah, squeezed
out. And so I think it has made the healthcare system even worse. And you know, my experience has been that people are afraid of the healthcare system.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
That's a starting point, because you should be, because they've killed more people than all of the wars, you know, put together in the last 100 years.
We're up against time. Is there any final point you want to make to sort of round all that off, or do you think we've gone through it? But that's a great way to wrap up the week of what we've been listening to this week.
Well, some of the dust will have settled on Saturday, the 1st of June, the last day of the World Health Assembly. At this point in time, we just have to wait and see what is all decided. And I doubt that the battle will have ended. I think it most likely, you know, will have just begun all over again.
And in the words of the Carpenters, we've only just begun. Much rather listen to that than those guys. All right, James, thanks for what you do. Thanks for coming back on RCR and explaining all that. Yeah, let's see what happens. And I'm sure there'll be more, which means we'll talk again sometime. That's for sure.
Thank you very much for having me.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.